More boys emerge from a flooded cave.
They're hoping to rescue several more boys in just the next few hours.
A pick for the U.S. Supreme Court.
I'm getting very close to making a final decision.
Poisoning death raises fears in Britain.
What do we do? Do we just stay at home and hide kind of thing?
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. Dramatic new developments at a cave complex in Thailand. Several more boys have been pulled out after the rescue of four others yesterday. Members of an international team of divers are the heroes in the painstaking effort to save the 12 boys and their soccer coach who've been stranded there for just over 2 weeks. Here's CBS's Ben Tracy.
Thai officials say the elaborate rescue operation has gone better and faster than they expected. A source tells CBS News they have added five more people to the international team of 18 expert divers in hopes they can rescue the remaining boys and their coach in a shorter period of time. Here's how this dangerous rescue mission works. Each of the boys is wearing a dive mask as they enter the murky water. The children can barely see anything in front of them. They are led by a diver who is carrying their oxygen tank and guided by a rope. Another diver follows them from behind. The entire journey covers about 2.5 miles through both deep water and steep climbs.
CBS's Anna Werner is at the hospital where those who've been rescued are now being treated.
Each of them is undergoing detailed medical checks for about 3 to 5 days here. Doctors will be looking out for some immediate problems like dehydration and malnutrition. And the hospital now reportedly has a book inside reserved for visitors to come by, write encouraging and special messages to the teens as they recover.
Well, Anmar Mirza is with an American group that's involved in the rescue efforts.
This is truly a monumental effort, and it exceeded my expectations, and it gives me a lot of hope for a successful outcome for the rest of the evacuation.
Well, Thai officials are scrambling to complete the operation before more rain hits the area. Tonight, President Trump plans a primetime address to reveal his choice for the U.S. Supreme Court, a nominee to fill the seats being vacated by the retiring Anthony Kennedy. CBS's Jan Crawford at the court says one person may have emerged from a final four.
One of those names has been at or near the top, and that's Judge Brett Kavanaugh. He's kind of got all the boxes checked. He's got those elite legal credentials that the president says he wants. Yale College, Yale Law School. He clerked for Justice Kennedy, and he's someone who's seen as he'd be a real intellectual heavyweight on the Supreme Court. But he's very experienced, and that, weirdly enough, is a knock against him. He's written more than 300 opinions. He worked in the Bush White House. He worked for independent counsel Ken Starr. So Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has flagged that his confirmation might take a little while longer because he's got a record. And that's kind of kept him from kind of sealing the deal and left an opening for some of these other contenders, like Judge Thomas Hardiman. The president really likes his personal story. He would bring diversity to the court. He's kind of the first, he'd be the first justice who's outside the Ivy League. He went to Notre Dame, Georgetown Law School. The other two, kind of now we think maybe have fallen a little bit off the list, Raymond Kethledge and Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
Immigration activist groups say it's likely the Trump administration will miss tomorrow's court deadline to reunite young children separated from their parents at the southern border. CBS's Maria Villarreal is in El Paso, Texas.
The Department of Justice said this morning that they are eager to present their case, their progress to that federal court, and they have been working tirelessly to reunify these families. The ACLU, though, will argue that they need stricter instructions and oversight to make sure they meet all of those future deadlines.
Well, now to Britain, where authorities are looking into the death of a woman who was exposed to a nerve agent. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
In the end, doctors couldn't save homeless 44-year-old Dawn Sturgis. She died in the same Salisbury hospital where her companion remains in critical condition, close to where former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia were found last March, all poisoned by the same Soviet-era nerve agent. Police still desperately searching for the source of the contaminant. One theory, the couple may have been sifting through trash cans and come into contact with the container that had held the poison used on the Skripals. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
It's back to court today in New York for disgraced Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. He'll face charges that he sexually assaulted a third woman and will plead not guilty. Weinstein's already been in court to face charges involving two other women. In the West, fire crews are struggling with a string of destructive wildfires in California. One crossed the border into Oregon. There's 80% containment on a fire that destroyed 20 homes in Santa Barbara County, and a blaze in the San Diego area has scorched 18 buildings. In southern Colorado, Amy McClave is working a big fire that's destroyed more than 130 homes.
With the fuels being so dry, they're pretty volatile, and so we are seeing flames, you know, 20 to 30 feet up in the air. If we get winds, they are jumping our fire lines, and it doesn't necessarily matter how wide we make them.
Well, forecasters expect Tropical Storm Chris to gain strength and become a hurricane later today. It's 200 miles off the coast of the Carolinas. It's expected to head northeast and could cause dangerous surf on East Coast beaches. The death toll tops 100 in the floods and mudslides that have ravaged parts of western Japan. Dozens of other people are missing. Michael Penn is with a Japanese news agency. He says some survivors are stranded.
There are people who are still cut off from the world, people looking to be, you know, rescued from areas where bridges have been taken out and they can't even find food and water at this point.
Japan's Prime Minister Abe has called off an overseas trip to deal with the crisis. The New York Times reports world health officials were stunned when the U.S. resorted to threats as it tried to block or water down a resolution encouraging breastfeeding. At a Geneva gathering of a UN-linked health group over the spring, one called it blackmail prompted by U.S. support of infant formula makers. The report says in the end, Russia pushed the measure through and the U.S. backed off. Starbucks says today it's going to eliminate plastic straws from its stores by 2020. Replacing them with straws made from other materials or a special drink lid. A surviving World War II veteran has been reunited with a long-lost symbol of his military past.
Army veteran Ronald Gaines lost his dog tags while serving in Italy. Now a family who found them buried in their backyard has returned them to the 97-year-old man. They located him through the Internet.
We didn't think we would ever see these dog tags. We would ask about them, and he said, I lost them in Italy.
Eva Hendricks teared up seeing her father holding his long-lost dog tags at his home in Norfolk, Virginia. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Illegal marijuana may be more of a thing these days in several states, but it's illegal in Indiana. And a court in Indianapolis has dismissed a 3-year-old lawsuit brought by a church that wants to use pot as a religious sacrament. It cited the state's Religious Freedom Act. The church has indicated it will appeal that ruling. And that's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.